Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a minister and a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God week after week as we explore the words of God together. We have to keep our mind stayed on God because the world we live in is full of evil. People are doing anything and everything that they seem they could do that seemeth right in their own eyes, not having a moral compass. There's so many people have died on the streets in our city this week, and we have to pray for the families, pray for our youth, ask God to build a fence of protection around them, and rebuke Satan long enough for them to make a better decision. Y'all must realize that we're living in trying times. But the blessing is that God is in control, and nothing that happens can take him by surprise. So we have to be steadfast and unmovable and abound in the things of God. I would like to thank God for allowing me the opportunity to come before the people of God. And I don't take it lightly. And I pray that each time I come before you, that God gets the glory. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be looking at the 8th chapter. And the title of the lesson is Out with the Old and In with the New. Out with the Old and In with the New. At this time, I'm going to play a song that I think fits so appropriately with our lesson tonight. And the title of the song is The Blood, talking about the blood of Jesus. And the song goes on to say that the blood will never lose its power. I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And then we're going to explore the words of God together. Listen to the music and be blessed. And be prayerful for our Bible study on tonight, that we will be edified and God will be glorified.
And it flows.
The blood will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus that just take and wipe away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And at this time, if anyone would like to pray, bring us to the throne of grace, you can press the one button on your phone at this time. God is extending the opportunity. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, okay, hallelujah. Caller, your number is 504-534.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, oh God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. God, we come right now just lifting up the name of Jesus, because your blood will never lose its power, oh God. God, it reaches from the highest mountain down to the lowest valley, Lord God. It cleanses, it purges, it purifies us, oh God. It's the blood that sanctifies us, Lord God. Oh God, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that you said in your word, and all I get and get understanding, Lord. We thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding tonight, Lord God. We thank you for Minister Diane, Lord God, that you would bring forth your word, Lord God, with clarity, Lord God, that we just could begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Lord God. We even lift up those that are on our prayer list unto you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that have lost loved ones, God, we thank you for binding up broken hearts, oh God, for giving peace that passes all understanding. And God, we just want to give you honor. We want to give you praise, and we want to give you glory on tonight, Lord. We just want to learn of you, God, because you said in your word, beloved above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. So we come in for our souls to prosper in your word, oh God. So we give you honor, we give you reverence, we give you glory. God, we pray for the whole household of faith right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, and we thank you for what you're doing on our behalf, Lord God. And we call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister Hilary and Mackey, for that prayer.
Yes, Lord.
God for the prayer that went forth. And at this time, I always do a background introduction, pick some kind of subject that can help to give you a better understanding of what the Word of God is saying, why. See, when we study the Word of God, it gets, that's the way we see God. God is allowing us to see Him through His Word. And the more we read and study it, the more we know God and what He will do and how He does things and why He does things and, you know, and all of these things which can build up our faith, that can help us to truly, dependently trust nobody but Him, that we can grow to know Him. And so the background tonight, I'm going to do a short background on the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I pray that each and every one of you had time to read the chapters that were sent out in the text, because you'll get a better and a clearer understanding of what the eighth chapter that we're going to expound on tonight is saying. So, talking about the period between the Old and the New Testament. If you ever flipped from the last page of the Old Testament to the first page of the New Testament, you've just skipped over 400 years of history with that single page turned. You know, we had the Old Testament, we had the New Testament, but there was a period between the Old and New, and that's what I'm talking about right now. You see, in order to fully understand the New Testament, you must have an understanding of the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, we saw how God dwelt and dealt with His people, and then in the New Testament, He sent His Son, you know. So if you really want to see God in action, you have to visit the Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament gives us a glimpse of the master plan before the foundation of the world. He ultimately divine a divine purpose for mankind, and He also let us know how He would provide everything necessary for our eternal life. You see, God was silent in these 400 years. But if you look close enough, you will see His hands at work. I encourage each and every one of you to study the period between the testaments, and you could see how God was establishing, getting everything ready, even though He was silent, because He had stopped speaking, because He had sent His prophets, and He had sent Moses, and He sent Abraham and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the people still was lackadaisical in what they do and how they did it. And so when the Old Testament ended, God was silent. But look a little closer, you'll see that God is always working things out for our good, even when He is silent. And the Word of God tells us, even when you can't hear God's voice, you just have to trust His plan, because He's God, and yes, He do understand. You see, He was silent, not speaking, and He had turned a deaf ear on the people. Even then, nothing they did could take God by surprise. It seemed that God allowed this period of time for the teaching of the Old Testament. This period of time for the teaching of the Old Testament to penetrate throughout the world. Come on. During this time, He rearranged the scenes of history. You know, kind of like when a stage crew rearrange a stage set after the curtains has fallen. And when the curtain rises again, there is an entirely new setting. Come on, y'all. title of the lesson, Out with the Old and New, In with the New. You see, after God delivered his final message through the prophet Malachi, he paused in his communication through men for some 400 years. The long and short of it is, God's silence was a part of his eternal plan. Remember, God doesn't do anything without a purpose. God is a purposeful God. And everything he has, everything he does has a reason and a season. You see, he had spoke on numerous occasions and through various people, but he is now preparing to speak his greatest and most powerful word to mankind through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the pause added incredible emphasis to his monumental revelation. You see, God said it all, and then he stopped, and now he did it all. You see, if you watch the Old Testament closely, you will see the plans of God unfold. Everything in it points to the coming of the Messiah, who would do something for mankind that he would not or could not do for himself. Take away the sins of the world. You see, the Old Testament ends, and God is using a 400-year period of time to unfold his master plan for the new covenant, out with the old and in with the new. You see, but through it all, God was still in control, maybe silent, but in control. But then, on one ordinary night, in a tiny village in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. And with his first cry, God's voice once again graced the land. Hallelujah. For Jews with ears to hear and to see, it became clear throughout Jesus' life that he was the Son of God, the Savior for whom they had been waiting. God had used the years of silence to prepare the perfect time and place for Jesus' arrival. Working all things out for his glory. Working all things out for his plan. You see, during the years between the Testament, there was a lot of wars and turmoils and flawed heroes, because any prophet that prophesied was a false prophet, because nothing they prophesied about came true. And they had unfulfilled hopes during that time. You know, the priest was weak and all of these things, but people were still living. So there was a lot of unfulfilled hopes. But God had set the stage for the final era of salvation's history, an era of good news for Jews, but guess what? And Gentiles alike. So tonight I have to say, thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, Redeemer, Sustainer, and Savior, who has given us grace and mercy. You see, his grace will give us everything we don't deserve. And his mercy will hold back the punishment we do deserve. What a mighty God we serve. And that's the background for our lesson tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you have, from listening at this, want to know more about what happened in 400 years, and you could see the hand of God working throughout those 400 years, establishing, a new way. Because, the books in the Old Testament closed, and it was out with the new, out with the old, and now it's in with the new. Check it out for yourself, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. So if we go into our scripture, and we're in the book of Hebrews, I pray that each and every one of you have your Bible, because this is Bible study. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. And we're going to be on the first verse. And I need to tell the people, because I have so many people that are listening on the internet. And for the people that's on the phone line, at the beginning of the week or at some time early before the Wednesday date, I give out the scriptures that's going to be expounded on Wednesday night. If you look at the prayer line that you see on the computer when you open up the program, you can call that prayer line number, and I will be able to give you the scriptures and the chapters that we're going to deal with on Wednesday, and you could read it, and you could be abreast, and we could all be in the same place as we study and go through. So anyone that may be listening by computer, iPhone, and all these different ways that people are listening to the program, if you want a heads up on what's going to be expounded on Wednesday night, you can call the prayer line, and I'll give you the chapter and the verses. So we in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the first verse, and we're going to read the first and the second verse. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Now that's the writer of Hebrews talking. He said everything that's been said, all of the prophets, all of this, all of the teaching, he said this is the sum of it. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Two, said a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. You see, the reason that the writer is saying this, because, wherever there's a sacrifice, they need to be a priest. He's telling us tonight that we have a high priest. And we're going to look at it and understand it a little bit more. You see, the writer of Hebrew is unknown, but he has a lot to say. He is saying that all prophecy and teachings concerning the Messiah to come can be summed up as this. The Old Testament was a foreshadowing, which is an indication of a future event of what's to come, It gives us examples of God planned for our eternal salvation. It gives us example of God's plan for our eternal salvation. You see, God's master plan for man's salvation could not be accomplished by man or the works of the priests of the Old Testament. You see, even though that God ordained the priesthood of the Old Testament and God allowed the priests of the Old Testament to do the work of atonement, which is reconciliation and reparation for something that's wrong, it was never good enough to take away the sin. It was only temporary, and it had to be repeated over and over and over again, and could never take away our debt penalty. You see, no matter how much they work, they were still, and we were still, on death row. This lets us know that a priest was and is necessary now to offer atonement. You know, plenty of times, say the Old Testament, you know, Jesus is letting us know the things that God has put in place, and some of the things that the Old Testament is still is important today. You see, the prophecy of the Old Testament was fulfilled through Jesus becoming our high priest. It wasn't destroyed. We now have a high priest, and his name is Jesus, who is sitting on the right hand of God, not in a sanctuary made by man, but in a true tabernacle, which the Lord himself erected, the original tabernacle. You see, the tabernacle of Moses was a copy of this original tabernacle, and it was made by man. But you see, Hebrews, the second chapter and the 17th verse says, therefore, he had to be made like his brother in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make the to make a way for our sins to be removed. You see, that's what the Bible is telling us. A priest was necessary then for the atonement. A priest is necessary now, is necessary now for atonement, and Jesus became our high priest. It was out with the old and in with the new. And you see, the scripture that we read said that he's sitting, he's in high, the high priest who sit at the right hand of the throne in heaven. You see the difference between the priest of the Old Testament and our new high priest, Jesus. The scripture told us right then and there that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. You know, the priests in the Old Testament, the tabernacles didn't have any seats in the holies of holies because the priests didn't have time to sit down because they kept sacrificing, and the people kept sinning, and the priest had to sacrifice, and he did it over and over and over and over again. But you see, with Jesus, our new high priest in the new covenant is now sitting, and he's interceding in our behalf. But the scripture in Hebrews 2 and 11 that I just read for you, they say he had to become a man just like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service for God. You see, Jesus had to become a man and go through everything that man went through so he could intercede properly for us to the Father. You see, this is another reason why Jesus had to become man and yet remain fully God. If we look at the next verse, verse 3, I'm going to read it by itself because this is so interesting to me. They say, every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is necessary that this man, talking about Jesus, have something also to offer. See, the rules was a priest had to offer gifts and sacrifices. Jesus became the high priest, and the word of God telling you that that particular thing in the old, which was in the Old Testament, it's not destroyed. Jesus is just fulfilling it. They say, this man have someone also to offer. You see, all the priests had to offer gifts and sacrifice, and the scripture says this man, Jesus, had to offer as well. Now, we know the priests in the Old Testament offered animals and bulls and heifers, and they because they had to offer something that had blood. There is no remission of sins without blood. Come on, y'all. Blood had to be shed. So they shed the blood of the animals. And y'all have to remember, each and every one of those animals was innocent. And they shed their blood. And it couldn't take away the sins. It only covered the sins. And now we have this high priest named Jesus. And he had to do as the other priest did. So what he did, what did he offer? He offered himself to become the greatest sacrifice ever. And yet, his blood was shed for our sins. See? The rules still apply. And if we look at 4, for if he were on earth, talking about Jesus, he should not be a priest now, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. You see, Jesus wasn't going to offer anything according to the law. He knew its weakness and he knew its failures. He knew it was in place. But they offered according to the law. In the 5th verse says, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. It said, for see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee on the mount. See, when God had Moses to make the temple, he told Moses how to make it, what to put in it. And he gave Moses an example of what the heavenly sanctuary, tabernacle, was like. See, so Moses only had a copy. But Jesus is sitting in the real deal in the heavenly places with his Father at the right hand interceding for our behalf. See, that's the new thing. Out with the old. In with the new. You see, Jesus could not be a priest here on earth anyway. You see, because of the Jewish system, priests had to be chosen only from the tribe of Levites. You know, the Levite tribe were the priests, and that's where the priests were selected from, and that's how they became priests. And just because Jesus is Jesus, God didn't allow him to become the priest on earth because of the rule. God does everything decency and order. The plan has been made. The table has been set. So what did he do? Jesus would not. The scripture said, for if he were on earth, he could not be a priest. That's the scripture. And then I told you that the priest was selected from the Levite tribe, and Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And his perfect sacrifices ended the need for future priests and sacrifices. Because what he did was once and for all. He did it and he completed it. You see, earthly priests offered according to the law. And Jesus offered gifts of salvation by grace. That's a little example of love versus grace. And verse 6 says, but now has he ordained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon a better promise. This is so awesome. He obtained an excellent, a more excellent ministry. He became the mediator of a better covenant. And this better new covenant was established upon better promises. That's the scripture, y'all. I'll read 6 again. But now has he ordained, obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant? Don't you want better? Which was established upon a better promises. Thank God for more. And if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So why is out with the old and in with the new? Because the old was not faultless. Yeah, it was what God had put in place at that time. But he said, now I show you a more excellent ministry. Come on, y'all. And if the first could have did everything that was needed to be done, there would be no need for the second one. God is always and always have and always will be looking out for his people and having your best interests at heart. That's why he arranged and rearranged stuff, you know, within his master plan. No, he don't change. But all of this was ordained before the foundation of the world. If you go all the way back to Genesis 3 and 15, when man fell, in the third chapter, about a 15, God had came with a better promise, and the promise that Jesus Christ would come and he would take and he would subdue Satan. And he guaranteed that the victory will be ours. We're in Genesis 3:15. And then he goes on to say, for finding fault in them, he said, behold, now this is God talking. The writer of Hebrews said, because God found fault in them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that's how you know God said it, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that was made with their fathers. He said, I made a covenant with the fathers, with y'all fathers in the Old Testament. He said, but now, you know, and I told y'all all through the Old Testament what I was doing. This is not no secret. He said, I didn't keep it a secret. He said, I kept telling you. I kept pointing to my son. I allowed the prophets. And if you look at this verse in the 8th chapter, what I did was look to the scriptures on the side to tell you where it came from. And it was a scripture written by Jeremiah to the people way back in the Old Testament. And he said that, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And 9, verse 9 say, not according to the covenant that I make with their father in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, said the Lord. You see, God knew the flaws of the Old Testament. And even though knowing it and allowing it, he always gave the promise of a new thing, which can be called, you know, the Old Testament can be really called the first covenant, which was made old. See, the Old Testament and the covenants of the Old Testament was the first testaments, the first covenants, but they were made old because he promised a more excellent ministry that would include a mediator, Jesus Christ, and a better covenant with better promises. He was not abolishing the law, but here we see how he fulfilled it. See, the law was weak in and of itself, and God came with a more excellent way. You see, man could never achieve all the things of the law. Matter of fact, there were 613 of them. And the law really was never intended to be a way for salvation. It was put in place to show mankind their sin and their need of a Savior. You see, and let's look at this. If the first covenant had not been faultless, then there would be no need for the second. And if man could do enough to save themselves, then there would be no need for the second covenant, the new covenant, Jesus Christ. You see, people who don't believe in Jesus, admit some of them believe in God, not realizing that you can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. And some religions believe that they love God, but that Jesus is not the Messiah. Many Jews haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but they love God, and plenty of them with their whole heart. So they're not going to go to hell for what they do. They're going to go for what they didn't do, except the Son. Because he's the only way. You see, and that's why we have to stop saying Jesus Christ, you know, you could be saved, but you got to be baptized. The scripture lets us know it's Jesus Christ alone. Should you get baptized? Yes, because Jesus got baptized and Jesus said it was in place. He didn't take baptism away. But do you have to be baptized to be saved? You're not being baptized that can create salvation for you, because it's only the blood of Jesus. But with your baptism, you are showing an outward expression to those around you that you have decided to follow Christ. Others say, you know, you can't be saved if you don't go to church. The church has never had enough power to save anyone. But should you go to church? Jesus would say yes. Jesus established the church to give us a place to fellowship one with another, to assemble one with another, to learn more of him. So if you don't go to church, can you be saved? Of course. And if you go to church, you might learn more about God. And just like everything in this world, you know, that's why God has so many churches in the world, because, you know, this church might not work for you. Then do your best to find one that can. And will there be issues in a church? Yes. And I could explain to you why. and I could explain why there will always be issues. Because the people that go to the church are humans, and they carry issues. The issue is not the church house. The issue is the people that go in the church to worship. They bring the issues. And long as people going to be people, if they in the church house or the outhouse or the White House, people are going to be people. And people do things that people do. And all of them are not things that they should do. But that has been before the beginning of time. Not before the beginning of time, but it has been going on since time began. Look at Cain and Abel. Come on, y'all. Look at David going on the rooftop for someone else's wife when he had so many of his own. People are going to be people. But what you should do, if you believe that God wants us to go to church, you go to church and you let your light so shine as bright as it can, because you may be the one that makes the difference. And if you're already going to church, try your best to always be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. So when we look at this and we realize that, you know, Jesus is the only way, you know, we should keep that in mind. And if we look at verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. This is God talking, saith the Lord. Whenever it says, saith the Lord, you know that's God talking. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Look what he said. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The new covenant, y'all. And they shall not teach. Well, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to go say on this. I got something right here. I'm going to read it again. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. What God is saying. You see, the sacrificings of the animals and the bulls and all of that in the Old Testament to get the blood, and it could only cover the sins. You know, all of that was external things. God is saying when he say this, put it in your heart and your mind, he's talking about an internal thing. Come on, y'all. See, the internal thing and what God is trying to achieve with that, he said, to be written in their hearts so that they follow me and know me. This covenant is based upon inward spiritual change. And guess what? In this new covenant, he gave us the Holy Ghost to aid us. You see, the Holy Ghost is now included in the new covenant to aid and guide us. You see, the first covenant was given to the Jews. Now, this new covenant is all exclusive, Jews first and Gentiles. In the new covenant, all who believe shall receive. And then that verse where I stopped up, And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. God is saying, they ain't going to have to go around trying to teach people, because he's going to be inside of them. He said, you know, they shall not teach every man. He said, because, but they shall know me from the least to the greatest. And verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And the last verse say, in that he saith, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. That's beautiful, y'all. You see, the old didn't allow the people to enter the holiest of holies because of sin. You know, only the high priest could enter, and only enter once a year. But you see, the new covenant, and the scripture starts off telling us we have a high priest, which is Jesus Christ. You see, our high priest, Jesus Christ, made a way for us out of no way. You see, with his death, the veil that separated the regular priest from the holies of holy, and no one could enter because they wasn't never good enough. And we didn't have access to God for ourselves, because when Adam sinned, it separated us from God. Jesus removed the veil, and now we have access to God for ourselves. Someone might say, well, Sister Diane, how much? You got 24/7, 365, year after year after year after year with no end. You see, when the children of Israel disobeyed God, he turned away from them on different occasions. But you see, in this new covenant, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, in the new covenant, I became the bridge that crossed over troubled water, that you could get to the other side to go to God for yourself. In the new covenant, God is saying, I will not hold your sins against you. He said, a matter of fact, once you accept my son, when I look at you, I only see my son. He said, in this new covenant, everyone that receives his son, believes, confess on his son, will be saved. He said, in the new covenant, once you accept Christ as your Savior, I'm going to allow my spirit to dwell in you, and my spirit is going to seal your soul because you have now become born again. And I'm going to have my spirit to seal your soul and separate it from your flesh. Hallelujah. He said, and when you do things that's not right in the flesh, it's going to affect you with consequences of the flesh. He said, but it won't touch your soul. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation where John was crying, really, when Jesus was showing him everything that would happen. And you see, they was talking about the seal. And John said, because of the rules and regulation, he didn't know anyone worthy enough to open the seal. And Jesus told him, I am the one. You see, so if you seal with the Holy Ghost, and only Jesus can open the seal. And when Jesus come back for the church, which we are the church, and we go with Jesus, Jesus is the one that can open the seal. So that's how once saved could always be saved, because God offered that gift in the new covenant. The new covenant, a more excellent way. Thank God for the New Testament. Thank God for the new covenant. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. You see, because the priest was wore out. The laws that was written, even though they had some laws, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all of them people came, and they start making them more up as they went. And I don't know what the starting number was, but they ended at 613. God said, that's too much of a struggle for my people. And God never asked, God never intended that we would have to carry all those burdens, because he said, take my yoke upon you, because my burdens is easy. See, so that was never God intended. And that's why he did out with the old and in with the new. So I just want you to know tonight that God did do a new thing with his son for our lives. And I thank God for it. And I praise his holy name. And I'm so glad for the new covenant, for the New Testament. And you see, God always intended that testament to come into play. And a part of the reason why there was the Old Testament, the period between, and the New Testament, because a testament is like a will that you write up on your life when you're living. And a will cannot be open and executed until the one who's given everything in the will is dead. You see, so Jesus had to die for the will to be open. And now when Jesus' death happened, the will of God, the New Testament, was open wide. And everything that God has for us in the will is there. And the will is his way. And the will is his word. And the word is his will. And for you to know what's in the will for you, you got to read it. You know, like on earth these days, if someone have a will and you don't know they have a will and they die, you don't go and collect what's in there for you, because you might not know it. That's the same thing with people who don't read the word of God and know what's in the will for them and expect it. They might not receive it. But that's our lesson for tonight. I hope and I pray to God that each and every one of you received something, that this was enough for you to go and study some of the things that were said tonight. I tell you all the time, I can only give information. The Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation, and I pray that I did it in the simplest way I can, that you could really understand it and be able to take it and go to a higher and higher and higher, you know, things and the things of God. But that's our lesson for tonight. And if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on the phone. Remember, Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came and he fulfilled it. Anyone else, anyone would like to say anything, please press the one button. If anybody need prayer, if anybody have words of encouragement, if anybody just want to say hi, you can press the one button on your phone. Well, if no one have anything to say, we're going to get ready to leave. And I could ask Sister Elyria Mack if she would leave us out with a short version of a song and give us a benediction, and we will end our lesson for tonight. But I want you guys to know that I love you. I thank God for each and every one of you, and I want y'all to know that I pray for you all, and I pray that you pray for me. So, Sister Elyria.
I'm here.
Would you give us a short song and a benediction so we could end tonight?
Okay. Praise Jehovah, the King of Kings. Praise Jehovah, all everything. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. Praise Jehovah, the great I am. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You are to enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Praise Jehovah, the great I am. Praise Jehovah, the King of Kings. We come to praise Jehovah, our everything, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Praise Jehovah, the great I am. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we just come thanking you for another Wednesday night, Lord God. Thank you that we are able to get more of you and less of self, Lord God, because your word declares that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people, oh God. We are of a royal priesthood, Lord God. You said in your word that we are lively stones, Lord, and for that we are grateful. We recognize in your word that it says that all your promises are yea and they are amen. And though this outer man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. So, God, we just thank you for Minister Diane on tonight for bringing such a wonderful word, oh God, to let us know that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. And, God, your word declares that we ought to think on the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are good report, oh God. And it's all in the word of God. God, and as we depart tonight from this Bible study line, God, we just want to tell you that we are grateful, we are thankful, we are blessed, oh God, because we know that your grace is sufficient for whatever we go through, because your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. So for that, we thank you, Lord God. And we just want to prosper and be in good health, Lord. We want our words to be always seasoned with grace, that we know how to answer every man, oh God, that come asking. And we want to let our light shine, that men can see Christ through us and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So we just want to thank you, Lord, tonight. We want to bless and magnify the name of Jesus. And we call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to your name, oh God. God, we just thank you and reverence you, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
And I want to say thanks again to Sister Minister Elyria Mackey. That's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. But I want you all to begin to pray for our city, our state, our government, our children. It's summertime. Our children is on the streets, dear God. Ask God to build a fence around them, dear God. Protect them from danger seen and unseen. Pray for one another. Pray for the members of your family, dear God. I'm asking that you pray for someone that you haven't been able to give give forgiveness to, dear God. Mend all these broken bridges, dear God, and these broken relationships in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's it for the night. And I'll see you on Wednesday if God says the same. Say it's the same. Love each and every one of you. Good night.